The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, SmackDown Review. Hello and welcome to the Wrestling to the Max WWE SmackDown Live review for May 30th, 2017. I'm your host Sean Garman. Here with me is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
Alrighty, well, you know, we are now a little bit closer to Money in the Bank, and last week they settled the main championship side of things, who will be going for that Money in the Bank, whether it's Jinder or whether it's Randy Orton, who comes out champion at the end of that show. Now we find out the rumors were actually true. We discussed the possibilities, yes and no. They have that fatal five-way. It ends in chaos. Shane McMahon comes out, and Money in the Bank ladder match with all five of them. Still very surprised we didn't crown a winner and at least have the other four compete in it. Mm-hmm. But I guess it makes a little bit more sense this way. Weird that they wouldn't... this is a show that still needed matches.
Well, I mean, you look at Extreme Rules, they only have six. You can muster six somewhere, I think, on SmackDown across everything, and they have guys they're even not doing anything with right now, so not surprising. Why burn a title match if you don't have to and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it could also always be an opportunity to just have Naomi have an open challenge or something and have somebody show up randomly. Mm-hmm. That's something you could do, too. Somebody that you could see at the women's tournament or something. I don't know. I'm just shooting an idea out there. It's probably not going to happen, but would be a way to cross remote.
I thought I had the same idea whenever they were talking about it on Talking Smack. It's like, well, they could bring somebody up if they really wanted to. We've seen Asuka do stuff on SmackDown house shows and the like, so maybe... you do that, but they're going to save as many of those debuts for big moments as possible. So we might just have Naomi at ringside doing commentary to set up, and that's all we get.
Yeah. And I don't think, that's a bad thing either. So, I mean, you get this, big historic announcement now. It's out there. And what do you think? We already saw Charlotte do a moonsault in this match. I mean, I feel like we should expect a moonsault off the ladder or something.
I'm really hoping she busts out the Sky Twister Press again, but that might be a forlorn dream. At any point, this was my favorite part of the show. So much passion, so much energy right off the bat. They really drew that live crowd in to the point where they were pretty hot for the announcement, and... night and day, I think, compared to what you got from the women on Raw as opposed to what you got here on SmackDown. And, I could have watched them go for another 5 minutes, really. I really could have.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this match, too. I kind of was upset they cut it off the way they did, but at least they kind of had it all just, everybody's down, what do you do? Even at the beginning, they couldn't really start the match because stuff was just happening. So... I appreciated how they did this, and you even had Nia Jax take a shot at the Raw creative team. Oh, great. SmackDown Women's Money in the Bank match. Amazing how SmackDown uses their women every week. Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, Nia Jax probably not going to be you getting used anytime soon after that. But... I don't know. I mean, this is cool now. Both there's a women's and a men. You know, both the major championships have a Money in the Bank match to get you ready. But after another tag match that was set up, you know, to begin the show, we have another title match set for next week, because there was a Kevin Owens highlight reel, because, you know, I guess now he can take things from Chris Jericho since he owned his soul and sent him packing. And he basically kind of calls out Nakamura to be on there. I thought Nakamura was good here as far as the, you know, still kind of being himself, calling him out when calling Kevin Owens out on the Sami Zayn thing was funny. And then Baron Corbin comes out because I guess he had to come out. I feel like, are we going to start calling Corbin something with highlights or something that involves his nickname? Because he sure used that quite a bit. And yeah, this eventually leads to Sami Zayn coming out. We get a tag match. I like the tag match. It wasn't anything, you know, out of this world. But again, sets up another win for Nakamura over Kevin Owens twice in 2 weeks.
Which they're going to meet one-on-one next week, which I'm really excited for. And this was above average match to me. Lots of good bits here and there. I think everybody comes out of this looking pretty good, especially with the way the heels lose. It's not because of the faces. It's because they can't get along, which is how it should be when you have somebody called the Lone Wolf. And there was somebody who believes himself to be the face of America. So, overall, I enjoyed all this. Sammy, I thought, was great in the opening segment. I really enjoyed his piece. And everybody else was their usual selves to me. So, no harm, no foul here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these guys, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, just know each other so well. And every time, I mean, that's why it's so good that they've done that roll-up finish for Zayn and Corbin, because when he did it in this match, you could really buy that, oh my God, they might do it again. And I thought the crowd did been on it pretty hard there. Atlanta usually is kind of up and down. They were a lot more active on the show than normal. So that was a positive as well. It really helped the later when we talk about 205 on that show. I felt like they were one of the crowds that was much more into the 205 stuff than you normally get. So positives all around there for this. Speaking of Atlanta, Xavier Woods, of course, the man that is from Atlanta. I don't know if this is a strategic thing or not when they were first thinking about this, or just has to do with Kofi's injury and making sure he's back to being okay or not. He looked like he was moving around all right here when New Day interrupt the Usos, who are discussing how they basically took out the whole tag division. And then New Day shows up and they do their stuff. I don't know how I'm feeling yet about if it's been long enough where I'm still not like totally into the gimmick still, but I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not bored of it, but I'm not like totally into it like I was before. It still doesn't feel too fresh to me, I guess, because it's the same stuff. But I did like the guys going back and forth here. And then
the following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, SmackDown Review.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestling to the Max WWE SmackDown Live review for May 30th, 2017. I'm your host, Sean Garman. Here with me is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo!
Alrighty, well, you know, we are now a little bit closer to Money in the Bank, and last week they settled the main championship side of things, who will be going for that Money in the Bank, whether it's Jinder or whether it's Randy Orton, who comes out champion at the end of that show. Now we find out the rumors were actually true. We discussed the possibilities, yes and no. They had that fatal five-way. It ends in chaos. Shane McMahon comes out, and Money in the Bank ladder match with all five of them. Still very surprised we didn't crown a winner and at least have the other four compete in it. Mm-hmm. But I guess it makes a little bit more sense this way. Weird that they wouldn't... this is a show that still needed matches.
Well, I mean, you look at Extreme Rules, they only have six. Like, I mean, you can muster six somewhere, I think, on SmackDown across everything. And they have guys they're even not doing anything with right now, so... Not surprising, why burn a title match if you don't have to, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it could also always be an opportunity to just have Naomi have an open challenge or something and have somebody show up randomly. Mm-hmm. That's something you could do, too. Maybe do a, somebody that you could see at the women's tournament or something. I don't know. I'm just shooting an idea out there. It's probably not going to happen, but would be a way to cross remote.
I thought I had the same idea whenever they were talking about it on Talking Smack. It's like, well, they could bring somebody up if they really wanted to. Or, you know, we've seen Asuka do stuff on SmackDown house shows and the like, so maybe... you do that, but they're going to save as many of those debuts for big moments as possible. So we might just have Naomi at ringside doing commentary to set up, and that's all we get.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a bad thing either. So I mean, you get this big historic announcement now. It's out there, and what do you think? We already saw Charlotte do a moonsault in this match. I mean, I feel like we should expect a moonsault off the ladder or something.
I'm really hoping she busts out the Sky Twister press again, but that might be a forlorn dream. At any point, this was my favorite part of the show. So much passion, so much energy right off the bat. They really drew that live crowd in to the point where they were pretty hot for the announcement, and... I night and day, I think, compared to what you got from the women on Raw as opposed to what you got here on SmackDown. And, I could have watched them go for another 5 minutes, really. I really could have.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this match, too. I kind of was upset they cut it off the way they did, but at least they kind of had it all just, everybody's down, what do you do? Even at the beginning, they couldn't really start the match because stuff was just happening. So... I appreciated how they did this, and you even had Nia Jax take a shot at the Raw creative team. Oh, great. SmackDown Women's Money in the Bank match. Amazing how SmackDown uses their women every week. Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, Nia Jax probably not going to be you getting used anytime soon after that. But... I don't know. This is cool now. Both there's a women's and a men's. You know, both the major championships have a Money in the Bank match to get you ready. But after another tag match that was set up, you know, to begin the show, we have another title match set for next week because there was a Kevin Owens highlight reel, because, you know, I guess now he can take things from Chris Jericho since he owned his soul and sent him packing. And he basically kind of calls out Nakamura to be on there. I thought Nakamura was good here as far as the, you know, still kind of being himself, calling him out when calling Kevin Owens out on the Sami Zayn thing was funny. And then Baron Corbin comes out because I guess he had to come out. I feel like, are we going to start calling Corbin something with highlights or something that involves his nickname? Because he sure used that quite a bit. And yeah, this eventually leads to Sami Zayn coming out. We get a tag match. I like the tag match. It wasn't anything, you know, out of this world, but again, sets up another win for Nakamura over Kevin Owens twice in 2 weeks.
Which they're going to meet one-on-one next week, which I'm really excited for. And this was above average match to me. Lots of good bits here and there. I think everybody comes out of this looking pretty good, especially with the way the heels lose. It's not because of the faces. It's because they can't get along, which is how it should be when you have somebody called the Lone Wolf and there was somebody who believes himself to be the face of America. So, overall, I enjoyed all this. Sammy, I thought, was great in the opening segment. I really enjoyed his piece. And everybody else was their usual selves to me. So no harm, no foul here.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, these guys, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, just know each other so well. And every time, I mean, that's why it's so good that they've done that roll-up finish. For Zayn and Corbin, because when he did it in this match, you could really buy that, oh my god, they might do it again. And I thought the crowd did been on it pretty hard there. Atlanta usually is kind of up and down. They were a lot more active on this show than normal, so that was a positive as well. It really helped the later when we talk about 205 on that show. I felt like they were one of the crowds that was much more into the 205 stuff than you normally get. So positives all around there for this. Speaking of Atlanta, Xavier Woods, of course, the man that is from Atlanta. I don't know if this is a strategic thing or not when they were first thinking about this, or just has to do with Kofi's injury and making sure he's back to being okay or not. He looked like he was moving around all right here when New Day interrupt the Usos, who are discussing how they basically took out the whole tag division. And then New Day shows up and they do their stuff. I don't know how I'm feeling yet about if it's been long enough where I'm still not like totally into the gimmick still, but it's not, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not bored of it, but I'm not like totally into it like I was before. It still doesn't feel too fresh to me, I guess, because it's the same stuff. But I did like the guys going back and forth here, and then finding out that there was a tag team title match happening at Money in the Bank with these two teams. Whoop. You there? Uh-oh.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you went silent on me for a second. I didn't know if it was my turn to talk yet or not, so I figured I'd just better be quiet. So, the Usos' new gimmick and the way they cut promos now, I would say, is a large step ahead of where they were as faces, just because they have different ways to approach stuff. They feel like themselves just sort of turned up a bit, and I think that's what really works for what they're doing right now. And especially on the other side of the New Day, who is equally as outlandish as they've been recently, it just made for a really wonderful back-and-forth segment here that gets you really excited for the match come Money in the Bank, and we know both teams could work, so I'm really looking forward to see what they do, and if they get a chance to do something special, then more power to them.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, we know these two, the two teams getting in there, they're going to be working their butts off, so I'm not too worried about the in-ring. The Usos still come off a little bit janky sometimes with their vocabulary. They're trying to be a little too... I don't feel like that's what they are. Like, you know, I don't know what they're like. I know what they're trying to be, but I don't feel like they're all hood. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, they try to be, but it just comes off not that believable.
I feel like if you've watched, and I know you've seen some, but for anybody else who's listening out there, if you've watched Total Divas and you listen to sort of how they interact with each other and with Naomi and any other time they're on screen talking to somebody else, they have the same sort of approach to right. a conversation that I think they do when they're on screen right now. And that's, you're coming at them with a lot of energy. And I mean, maybe less street, obviously, but it feels like that's what they're turning up, you know. But the way they talk and the way they approach talking to other people feels very them. I don't know. It feels like it matches who they are on that show, at least.
I agree, but some of whatever they used against the New Day here felt a little like it wasn't them saying it. You know what I'm saying? Like. It felt very written, and I really hope that's not going to be their thing of this is the Usos penitentiary, because I just see that just totally
that was
dying a death. Like, <Yeah. laughs> But and then Big E felt, I think he didn't even know where to go with that, honestly. So he's like, let me throw that away really quick and go on. But yeah, so I mean, this should be fun. It's total opposites. So, you know, just like with Fandango and Tyler Breeze, you'll get some fun stuff there. And this leads me to, at least we get another Fashion File with some noir action going on with Fandango being a little depressed about what happened and that they feel very, I forgot what the line was that, like, last year's something clothes.
Last year's suede shoes or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which I liked. And then he sees the door open to the fashion police department. He pulls out the water gun and he goes in. And there's a whole trash pile, which we assume is the Usos getting upset. At first, the Usos getting upset about... them to getting too close to the tag titles, and then there comes the obvious cologne, and then you make the 2 and 2 that it's the colognes. Tyler Breeze, apparently that's going to be his thing now, cross-dressing.
I mean, Fandango was right. He didn't look terrible in the dress.
No.
My favorite part about the segment, first of all, before I get into where they're going with this team, is Fandango walking in and picking up this really nice frame photo of the Big Boss Man, who I imagine is their chief. And that just... that made me laugh a little bit. I'm okay with, like, they are what they are at this point now, especially with the New Day back on the scene. This is where they're going to be sort of slotted into, is that number two, number three team. And I guess depending on when or if we ever see American Alpha again on this show, we'll have to wait and see how that changes the dynamic. But, you know, I mean, they're a fun team. These are still fun, and they're still getting time. So I think that's a definite step up from them just showing up and jobbing.
They have their own thing, too, which that's good. Like... Mm-hmm. I would have hated for the Fashion Files to go away, and then they're just like American Alpha. You just don't see them at all. So good understanding from the creative team to know that this works. People like it. It's a thing you can make a YouTube video of, and I'm sure it does well. I haven't looked at the numbers or anything. I mean, they make a YouTube of everything, but, you know, just like Truth and Goldust are just making something out of nothing on Raw, you can keep doing this, and it's something for them to do, and it's great. Like, I feel like Fandango should be narrating more things for WWE. I mean, he has that voice, you know?
He does.
Like, you know, don't worry about John Cena doing the Memorial Day thing. Fandango needs to be doing that instead. They do have a match, the Colognes against Fandango and Breeze. And Breeze comes out with the women's dress at first. He takes it off. Then he comes back with the janitor outfit from before. And they, if I'm not mistaken, the Fashion Police get the win. I mean, this was a fun match here. But the best part is, I guess, Tyler Breeze is just going to keep changing his attire all the time. I'm down with that.
Yeah, I mean, if he can get three or four different costumes down, like he's got the dress, and now he has the janitor, and then he has actual Tyler. So, I mean, maybe he needs a couple more just to keep it fresh. But I still love the janitor thing. I think the crowd does, too. Watching him get in the ring with that mop is just hilarious and brings back memories of Moppy from the Attitude Era, which I'm always okay with.
Exactly. Perry Saturn needs more callbacks.
It's true.
So, you know, he already gets the Rings of Saturn for Neville, so bring Moppy, and you know, I don't know what else you could do for him there, but hey, that's nice. I don't think he ever thought that he'd get that many callbacks on WWE TV. But what I appreciate the most about this is that, you know, Tyler Breeze now, you know, when you play with him on WWE 2K18, you already have all of his attires right there. So, yeah. You don't have to worry about creating them or whatever. He already did them for himself. So, which that did get announced, by the way. And then if you're listening to this in the morning, the other wrestling game that's making a lot of waves right now, that's getting a big reveal event tomorrow. So the Fire Pro Wrestling World thing. So
I'm so hyped for that game.
Yes, me too. I'm so excited for that to come back. But we've gone through a lot of this show, but the one thing that we haven't touched on is the main event of AJ and Dolph Ziggler. Both guys did have a promo segment at one point in this show. Of course, AJ being from Georgia, this is a huge deal. He was already getting chant in the opening segment. Part of it is to piss off Kevin Owens, but, you know, hometown man. They're going to cheer for him. And I wonder if this is going to be the same thing for Randy Orton, which we haven't talked about, I guess, Randy talking either. But, you know, AJ lost in his hometown here.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if, you know, does Randy get to be the exception, or is he continue that rule of losing in his hometown?
You know, I don't know. I would like to see, because so far they haven't really done much with this feud except just sort of keep it going with promos here and there, and it's very much de-emphasized and almost in the background behind all the Money in the Bank shenanigans, which is fine because obviously that's the name of the show and those are the focus and that's what everybody's paying to see. So I don't think that's a big harm or foul there, but I don't want just 3 weeks of sort of so-so build and them calling it a day on gender. So there's a part of me that wants him to retain and let him walk out. And then if they want to do the cash in real quickly, they can, or on SmackDown or something like that. But, I mean, I think you need to let gender play out, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. And it doesn't feel like they're really giving him the opportunity to do so other than, you know, videos and promos and look how important this is in India and look at all this mainstream attention he's getting and so on and so forth. So I would be okay with this going on past Money in the Bank personally. I don't know if WWE is comfortable with that, though, just because you see a lot of differing opinions online, and you hear a lot of differing reports on ticket sales and how much, apparently the moment him and Randy Orton was announced as the main event for Backlash, people turned in 25 tickets. So, and they didn't sell anymore. So, you know, you hear stuff like that, and that's, I sir, a little concerning.
I think that's pre-title reign and pre all the hype and stuff, though. That was probably something where people thought, oh, Randy Orton's just going to run Jinder Mahal over, and why am I going to pay to see that?
Mm-hmm.
Where Money in the Bank, it's very clear what you're paying for. You're paying for the ladder matches. which is why I think they have two. I wonder if you have a stronger main event if they still do the women ladder match or not. But, you know, it is there to hide the fact that you're going to have a Randy Orton and general. And I wouldn't be surprised if the men's Money in the Bank is what main events, actually. And they don't try to do a cash in at all that night. They just, like you said, wait till the next match. And I do think that I don't see the point at all for Jinder to lose if you're going to have somebody just cash on. I mean, yes, would it be a bigger deal for you to cash in on Randy Orton and beat him? Yes. But either way, it's a cash in. People are going to get excited, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know. I feel like in this promo of Randy Orton, I felt like they forced the American thing constantly.
Right.
It was just, it was way too much. Like, I don't think we need to make it about this. Like, yes, Jinder has talked about how it's dumb American and something like that and whatever, but I feel like it's more about just, we shouldn't have to make it about this kind of thing. Like, just let it naturally happen. If the people want to chant USA or have something one way or the other to feel that way, great, but I don't feel like we need to be talking about, oh, America this, America that, every 10 seconds in that promo.
Yeah, and it's hard to fault them for doing that, though, because that's the entire attack for Jinder getting heel heat right now, is he's just foreigner man who believes America's on the decline and so on and so forth. And to that extension, I think Randy did fine in his promo here. Because nothing gets more American than reminiscing about your grandparents, talking about America and how great it is, and talking about how big of a can of whoop-ass you're going to open up on some foreigner, dude. Like, that's the three big ones that get you America chance, so.
I still don't feel like Atlanta was just totally behind that, though. So it's, I mean, I think we don't have to worry about it, because considering where you're at with Randy Orton at Money in the Bank, but, you know, if it was anywhere else, you might have to worry about getting the opposite chance happening, because, you know, Randy Orton isn't the most likable guy sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the look of somebody who you feel like would be that all-American sort of guy. So.
Right, it's more about cheering the RKO, which is fine.
Although I might maintain that looking like a douchebag is the American way now.
God. Don't say that. Don't make me feel bad. For us people that don't look like douchebags, we all falter in representing here. But hey, AJ and Dolph have a good match to end the show. Mm-hmm. Ziggler wins. Yes, he does crotch AJ, but hey, Dolph looked good here, and then he got a long section on Talking Smack where he really got to, you know, talk about being in the match before and all that kind of stuff, and I thought that went well for him.
Yeah, I thought him on Talking Smack was nice, but it felt like it was a disconnect from his character, you know, because there are parts of it where he's being very genuine, and there are parts of it where he's trying to be Dolph on screen, and it sort of made for a wishy-washy presentation, but I thought what he said was nice. So at least there's that. I like this match, though. It was another above-average outing for these guys, and clearly they're not going to give everything away on a SmackDown main event, but they are giving you a lot of reasons to want to watch the Money in the Bank match, because it feels like people are sort of neck and neck right now. You know, AJ is hurt, but obviously he's AJ. Dolph is sort of racking up wins a little bit. Sammy and Baron obviously hate each other. Shinsuke is coming on strong, and you have Kevin Owens sort of lingering around doing his Kevin Owens thing. So lots of stuff percolating in that match to look forward to. And I don't, you know, obviously, they haven't really struck you in the face with the fact that Baron's going to win, even though that's the rumor and everything. But it feels very open if you're just watching the product and not paying attention to the internet. And I think that's what's nice.
I do agree with that. I appreciate that everybody's involved. Everybody has a storyline. And they're not just having the random dude here just doing multi-person matches or whatever. It works. And that's good because you can branch them off after the Money in the Bank and keep them going if you want. I mean, I don't know how much more legs Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin have, but the other two you can certainly keep going if you want to.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And you can, the great thing so far is that there's so much history across a lot of these guys that you can intermingle them sort of at any point and it'll still feel fresh, which I also think is a nice touch. So,
I mean, line of the night still is Kevin Owens with, oh, you've been beating Sami Zayn for a little bit here. I've been beating him for 15 years. Yeah,
it's a big deal.
Well, we just got to do a rating for this show here.
You know, I really enjoyed this episode of SmackDown. There's a lot of quality build going on across the entire show. I think everything worked out pretty well. The gender and Randy stuff is sort of what it is right now. But as far as the women and Money in the Bank and the tag titles, which are pretty much your major points, and the Fashion Police, like, it was all good. I'm going to go 7. I really enjoyed the SmackDown.
That's where I was going to go with it. I enjoyed the show. The matches were good, and you had a good main event. Nothing outstanding or whatever, but it built to something. All feels like it's going somewhere. You set up a match for next week, which is always positive. And even, you know, lower card guys got some time. So good 2 hours of SmackDown well spent here.
Yeah.
So, well, that'll do it for our SmackDown review here. Of course, we're about to do our 205 Live review, and if we, of course, are a day late on the W2M Part 1 episode 249, as we extended it a day just because I had a lot going on that Memorial Day night. And, yeah, so lots to check out there. We also got that Raw review there if you'd like to listen to that. And the best way to listen to all of that together is the W2M Network, of course. You not only get all of our, you know, the Wrestling with Max stuff here, you get all the other podcasts that we do, whether it's hosted by us or not, some terrific stuff to check out. Of course, you can check out the website, W2MNet.com. You get game reviews, wrestling roundtables, even certain other things, you know, other podcasts and whatnot as well. So, yeah, there's a lot for you to check out here, and hopefully you enjoyed us reviewing SmackDown. Until next week, when we're 1 week closer to Money in the Bank. See you later, everybody.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2MNet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.